Content. Parental discretion is advised.
And yeah, we failed again to reclaim the Raw Tag Team Championships. And we know what the tag teams in the back are thinking. The Hardy Boys are done. The nostalgia pop has passed. And maybe we should just fade away and classify ourselves as obsolete. So, we came out here to make a proclamation. The Hardys are not going anywhere. We are nowhere near done. We have only begun to make magic within the WWE Universe.
Hey, this is Tony, Mr. USA Atlas, and you are listening to the Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show on 1280 WHTK. Listen in, Daddy. Pain.
Time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for July 15th. Just a couple holidays today. This one goes so well with all of us. It's Be a Dork Day.
Oh, my day has finally arrived.
Do you know what a dork really is?
Yes.
Okay.
When I went to Iceland, I got to see one.
All right. Okay, look it up, folks, if you don't know what a dork really is, but... it's also Cow Appreciation Day and Tapioca Pudding Day. All right, happy. We want to do a shout out. Happy birthday, 66th birthday to former guest who also happened to be the 38th governor of Minnesota. That's right, Jesse the Body Ventura. Today is his 66th birthday. Former WWE Diva Cherry is 42. You might remember her with Deuce and Domino. Do you remember Deuce and Domino? Yeah, I've been briefly. It was part of ECW. It was kind of like this 50s greaser gimmick, sort of, and she'd come out with a poodle skirt on and stuff. Very, very pretty lady. I actually gave out her age. I didn't mean to. But nevertheless.
Big mistake.
And the man with all the kids today, Heath Slater, is 34.
He's got kids.
Don't forget that. And you know what? He was in the semi-main event, by the way, of last weekend's Great Balls of Fire. I think it was almost a main event position.
Yeah, although you didn't see most of the match.
You didn't see most of it.
You only heard the result. You didn't see the result.
I didn't even know they were having a match until they did the screen-in-screen thing. And it's like, oh, wait a second. There's a match going on in the ring right now while we're having Roman Reigns contemplate how to get an ambulance into reverse.
This poses one of those great questions, though. If there's a match and you never see it, did it really happen?
That, you know, I think Pat Patterson could answer that one, and I believe that's how the first Intercontinental title was devised. So I believe it was someplace down in Brazil, that Rio de Janeiro, I believe, that the match that nobody saw that were here when he won the Intercontinental title. So yeah, that's that Heath Slater, yeah, it's his birthday, 34. So he got he's getting the payoff, I guess, for the semi main event or the main event of the pay per view. But I want to let you know the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Don's Delight Empire Culver. Thank you for everybody who came out last weekend for UFC 213. Of course, we got UFC 214 coming up in just a couple weeks. And that is at Salvatore's at the garage door, as well as Salvatore's Saloon. Main event, John Jones versus Daniel Cormier 2. There's enough heat between those two guys. I hope we pack the place. 10 p.m. start time, so get there early. It really is a packed pay-per-view. Come and join us, hosted by us. And there'll be last weekend we had, what were those girls, Brian? Were you there, Brian?
I didn't make it.
Oh, you didn't make it. That's right. I made it. That's right. I made it. And
with those girls.
The Bud Light girls. It was the Bud Light girls, I'll say. And they were handing out all sorts of cool prizes and stuff. So they and also and Murph came out, and I hadn't seen him in, like, I don't know, 6 months.
I don't remember the last time I've seen Murph, and that makes me sad.
Yeah, yeah, he came out, and we enjoyed it, and we were, of course, flirting with the Bud Light girls, and they were giving away prizes, and it was a really good time. Hopefully, I'm sure they'll be out for the 29th for the UFC 214, because it's John Jones, Rochester's own most hated UFC fighter in the world.
Did Murph ask the Bud Light girls if they had Yoo-Hoo?
He did not get that chance. No, no, I don't think
that's
so.
That's total classic Murph move right there.
I think he's got a girlfriend now, so I don't think he cares about that stuff anymore.
No, but he loves to drink Yoo-Hoo.
He does like to drink Yoo-Hoo. I mean, who doesn't like carbonated chocolate milk, you know? Who doesn't? All right. And it's a flashback, too. A lot of people probably don't even know what Yoo-Hoo is. But, nevertheless, come on out. That's right. 2 weeks from today, July 29th, UFC 214. Also, hey, interested in roller derby, fancy yourself a skater, the job of being an official, more up your alley. Roxy Roller Derby needs you. Contact them at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com. Become one of them, the few, the proud Rock City Roller Derby. Got a lot of stuff going on today. Busy, busy, busy show. Lots of stuff happening this past week. But before we get too far, I want to introduce the two guests in our studio. It is Ron and Jordan Falco joining us in the studio today. How are you guys doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming up. We got you up here because you not only... because we like you and you're very informative guests and everything, but also you got a show coming up next weekend in Batavia.
Yes, we do. It's the biggest one we've done yet.
It's and this is the IWF, which we got to go out to Brockport and we see the IWF shows every couple months, but now you're stretching your territory just a little bit going into Batavia.
Spreading my wings. We have a few big names coming on the show, and you know, you guys have been to the shows at the Elks Lodge. This show's going to be a little bigger, and I needed more space for it, so I decided to head out a little way. I mean, we get a pretty big draw from Buffalo, so I kind of want to make it easier for those folks to come in and see this one as well.
Sure, sure. It's we'll just might as well throw out the information while we have it right now in front of us. It's going to be, July 22nd. It's the IWF Battle Bowl featuring... Mr. USA Tony Atlas, as well as we're going to also see on the card too, former WWE Tag Team Champion and Cruiserweight Champion, current Lucha Libre Underground star Paul London. Which have you ever seen Paul London before, Danny? Yes, dude. Paul London is just an incredible technician in the ring. Just when he and Kendrick were tagging together.
I was going to say, it's totally underrated tag team when those guys were doing their thing.
Yeah, and they had the record for the longest time until the New Day beat them for holding the tag titles. And, people wouldn't have guessed it would have been them. They would have said, oh, it's Demolition. I think we did that once on the air. We said, who is it before them? And nobody could get it right. You know, it's like people were saying Demolition and Legion of Doom and all these other groups. And it's like, no. It was Kendrick and Paul London, which was just an incredible tag team. Well, he'll be there too, as well as former TNA and Global Force Wrestling superstar Cody Deaner, which of course we love Cody Deaner. I mean, you know what? Because he also gets me on my ride safely at the carnival most of the time. You know, you know. Every once in a while you hear another bolt fly out of it, but you know he knows what to do. So that's really cool. So you're venturing out to Batavia, the place. It's called Folletti Ice Arena.
Yep.
And it's a debut, so who knows? Maybe it's a new territory for the IWF.
Well, you can only hope, you know. Spread the wings, grow a little bit.
Yeah, cool. And it's kind of a risk for you too, because I mean, you know, you are now you're counting on people from Rochester to go that way too.
Yeah, I mean, I figured, I've relied so long on the people from Buffalo to come in. Our fans in Rochester are pretty loyal, so I really, half hour isn't really much of a drive. And, I mean, if you've seen the card, I mean, the main event alone, Paul London versus Kevin Bennett is, I mean, that's worth the price of admission alone and then everything else we have going on.
Yeah, yep. And Mark House is there, and I got it right that time. I see that, you
Mark
know.
Haas.
Yeah, whatever his name is. Yeah, yeah. And you've got a lot. You've got it's going to be a great card and cool. So, are you wrestling on the card, sir, or is this like you're managing this thing?
Actually, I'll play Vince McMahon on this episode. I have so much going on that day. I got to be free to run around. So unless I'm needed or somebody calls me out. I'll pretty much be behind the scenes on this one.
Well, it's funny you mentioned somebody calling you out because I've already gotten a couple of texts from, I don't think anybody's friend, Johnny Kayfabe, calling you a meatwad and saying Kevin Bennett's going to whoop all over London.
Wow. Wow. Kayfabe needs to stop talking or that envelope could disappear at the end of the line.
Strong words. Strong words from both sides there, you know? I mean, and yeah, Kevin Bennett, you know, wow, man, he's an incredible wrestler. This is going to be a great show. Jordan, what are you doing on the show?
I will be in a Fatal 4-Way match with Gavin Glass, Jesse Bieber out of Canada, as well as Mikey Everynight out of Buffalo.
Very cool, very cool. Fatal 4-Way, always dangerous because you could not be involved in the pin and lose, you know? I mean, as any... as any other match, you know, I mean, any of the four ways or the, it's insane. I'm looking forward to it. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And, man, and Tony Atlas is coming too. Does Tony Atlas still wrestle?
He still wrestles. Yeah. We have a thing or two planned for him.
We might be talking to him in just a few minutes here too. So I'll just hold my Tony Atlas questions, but
I'm just imagining Tony's role will be cooking for the guys like he did on, Legends House. What did he cook? And they were all grossed out.
Whatever happened to Chitlins, season two?
Let's not get started.
Waiting on that.
Let's not get started.
Yeah, it's a shame too because it's like you know. I just whenever I think of Legends House, I think of Roddy Piper. Yeah. You know, I mean, because he was probably, I think he was, you know, they focused on him and most of the show, as well as Mean Gene Okerlund too. And actually, when we get Tony on, we'll be definitely do go into that. But that's really cool, man. I'm looking forward to this. What about the next IWF show in Brockport?
Next IWF show is scheduled right now for September 29th. However, we probably due to booking, you know, double booking at the venue, we'll probably have to change that date. But as of right now, it's September 29th.
Uh-oh. Danny.
No, my eyes just perked up. For now, I never want anything bad for you guys because I've been at every single show and I love it. I was actually going to miss my first ever show on the 29th because I'm leaving, going out of town for 2 weeks.
Oh, no.
So the thought of it maybe getting adjusted.
You're not going to.
So I might keep my streak intact.
Yeah. You give me
that prospect excites me.
You give me your schedule. We'll book around that.
You're not going to inspect dorks, are you?
No, I'm not going to inspect dorks, okay?
Okay. Just checking. Just checking. Because, you know, today is dork day, you know, be a dork day. So, nevertheless, I was going to say that coming up and everything. And, you know, they just announced yesterday that Ring of Honor will be in Buffalo coming up in September, too.
Not just Ring of Honor.
Yeah, Ring of Honor, New Japan.
New Japan.
Yeah, New Japan, Ring of Honor show. 15th, I think it was. Can't remember off the top.
October 12th.
That's what it
in
is.
In Buffalo.
Yeah, so we're going
to... I know because I get back to town on the 11th.
Oh, no. Exhausted from travel.
No, I'll be there.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to that doing that too as well. And you're taking a little bit of a break here with IWF. I know that the big show is coming up this summer. You know, UPW is doing their headlocks and home runs coming up in just a few weeks and everything. And then it's cool. It's always busy around here.
A lot of great wrestling going around. You know, most cities and areas, they'll take off for the summer, but it seems Rochester, we kind of amp it up a little bit.
That's cool. Especially, you know, you get the guys out, you know, and, you know, you get lucky and maybe you get like a, you know, a couple rainy days in a row, especially this year, you know, and, you know, it's like, what are you going to do? So got to do something inside, you know, and boom, go to, you know, Pineapple Jack's or go up to Brockport and see the IWF. Why don't you go to break on that thought there? We got a lot of stuff to cover today. We really want to talk about some of the stuff that happened this past week in wrestling. I'll just tease it right now as we go to break. Some of the stuff that happened, the Mae Young Classic has been going on this past week. Tapings for future play on the WWE Network.
We have to talk about fiery balls.
Yeah, fiery ball. What the fallouts from that? And I'm not talking about El Patron either, you know, God. But that may happen too. So you're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll be back in just a few moments right after these incredible messages. Please follow our sponsors and please, please go to them and get pizza and get all sorts of stuff. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Supported me. To all the people that chanted Enzo Amore, never chanted for Big Cass, never supported me, don't even for a second think you can support me now. Don't even dare hop on the bandwagon because you know what I'm capable of. Don't even dare hop on the bandwagon because you know that I am the future of WWE.
Well, aren't we all living in a wonderful fantasy land? So I'll tell you what, how about I drag us all back down to reality?
Reality is I kicked your ass last night. That's the reality.
Welcome to Wells Fargo.
So we love those home improvement shows.
They'll do these great renovations,
but never talk about how to finance them.
Mm-hmm. Well, our My Credit Options Guide tool can help. It gives you a customized comparison based on the information you provide to help you discover which credit options might be right for you.
At last.
A better kitchen.
Wells Fargo is building better every day with a new way to compare credit options. My Credit Options Guide is not a credit application or meant to be a denial or approval of credit. Regardless of the results of the assessment, you may still apply for any of our credit products. Wells Fargo Bank N.A., member FDIC.
20 years ago, Gregor lent some CDs to a techno musician friend who sampled them on his album. The album went platinum, but the CDs were never returned. And that musician who borrowed them was Moby. Gregor doesn't want credit or riches. He just wants his CDs back.
Say I'm Moby, like how would you ask?
Hey Moby, can I have back those CDs?
Click here to listen to the Heavyweight Podcast for this and other stories of regret and second chances.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with DC Dan Cole, Double B Brian Burke. We are also joined by Ron Falco, Jordan Falco, and we have a special guest on the line with us right now. That's right, joining us is a WWE Hall of Famer, class of 2006, a former WWF Tag Team Champion with Rocky Johnson, who will be in Batavia at the Folletti Ice Arena July 22nd at the IWF Battle Bowl. Let's welcome Tony, Mr. USA Atlas, to the Pain Clinic. Thank you so much for the time today, Tony.
Not only that, I'm the man that press slammed and pinned the famous Hulk Hogan in Madison Square Garden. The only man ever to press Hulk Hogan over his head. Also, the only man to be Mr. USA three times. The only man to lay underneath 650 pounds and press it up. That is Mr. USA, WWE Hall of Famer Tony Atlas. Also, 2007 WBBG World Bodybuilding Guild Hall of Fame.
Awesome. I'm sorry I missed out on those other accolades, but sir.
Oh, I did some of everything, brother, and my doing is not over with because, as you know, the 20-something, I'm going to be up in upstate New York, you know, just ready to get involved in the IWF Battle Bowl. I'm ready to go.
All right, Tony. You know, you mentioned body slamming Hulk Hogan, the first guy to gorilla slam him in the ring. When you did that, that was way before Hulkamania. Did you ever envision this is the guy who's going to lead wrestling into the next generation at that time?
You know, believe it or not, the only one that didn't know it was Vince Sr. All the wrestlers knew, because if you watch the match on YouTube, half of the crowd is cheering for me. The other half is cheering for Hulk Hogan. You know, he was a bad guy at that time, was managed by the classic Freddie Blassie. But if you notice, Hogan always have a great following. They even talking about the movie on the video, you can hear Vince Jr., who was an announcer at that time, was talking about Hogan going to make this movie, but they never thought that the movie was going to really grow.
Yeah, yeah, and then he got fired because he went off and made that movie, right? I heard that.
Exactly, exactly, and people don't realize that the guy that took him after the movie was Vern Gagne out in Minnesota. He was a guy that gave Hogan his break.
It's interesting you bring up Vern Gagne because you went to the Hall of Fame the same year as he did, too, in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yes, yes, we did. It was quite an honor to be inducted. I was inducted, you know, with a couple of greats, you know, Bret the Hitman Hart and all them guys, and Hogan was there to induct me and Gene, there were stories told about with Stone Cold Steve Austin talking about the first time he met me was in college. He came to the World Bench Press Championship, and that's the first time I met Stone Cold. So it was a very good year, 2006. It was quite an honor to be inducted into that.
That's right. You went in with also Eddie Guerrero, Sensational Sherry. I mean, it was a great class.
Yes, that's great class of people. So it was quite an honor.
Now, Tony, when you first started in the business back in the 70s, everything was kept so secret. And then this big thing happened where everything was opened up to the world. And you know, there's a lot of people who just weren't willing to go new school and kept the old school kayfabe thing going. When you were going through that, did you think that that was going to damage the business when they kind of opened up and like, you know?
No, not really. This is the reason why. Up until, I would say, the late 80s and the early 90s, there was a business called wrestling. It was the wrestling business. Right about the 90s, the wrestling business disappeared and it became sports entertainment. So a lot of stuff, you like right now, they got a lawsuit against the WWE for concussions. Now, in my day, guys said we need to get some juice, which is a term used in wrestling. I mean, we need blood for the night. The people want to see blood. And they said, we're going to do it the hard way. So they would take and run you into the turnbuckle, which is a metal, you know, the connector for a metal cable. You know, you've been in the ring. Or they run you the head in into the ring post until they bust your head open. That was wrestling. If you notice Captain Lou Albano, when me and Rockin' won the title, they took a wooden chair, and just drove Seeker head right through that chair, Captain Lou Albano did. Now, today, you can't do that. When I went into the ring, these old-time wrestlers, we beat you into oblivion. That's why people say, oh, Tony used to wrestle with him for real, but half of it was. you got into the ring with Johnny Valentine or Wahoo McDaniels or Bruno Sammartino back in the day or Angela Moskos or Blackjack Mulligan. You thought you were in a real fight. There was no difference. The only difference was we knew who was going to win and who was going to lose. But that was up to the wrestler. Why do you think we would never let anybody pin us in the ring that could not pin us in real life? Because we was among the public every day. It's different now. They fly from state to state, from state to state. We drove. Like the base for the WWF at that time was no WWE. It was a WWF. The base for that area was out of Connecticut. So most of the wrestlers live around Connecticut or New Jersey because that was the center. And when we came up to Buffalo, Syracuse, or Rochester, we called it upstate, and the promoter was Arnold Spoelman, who was Bob Backlund's manager. Well, we used to drive. We used to do Madison Square Garden on a Monday, the first Monday of every month, and then the next day we would drive up to Utica, New York, and we would stay there at a hotel that was right off the interstate there, and then we would commute from Utica to Buffalo. Buffalo was always the supper show right after Madison Square Garden. We did after the Garden, then we did Buffalo, then we did Rochester, then we did Utica, and then we would go maybe to Syracuse, then to Troy, New York. After Troy, New York, we used to do New Haven, Connecticut. which everybody worked their way back home. You see what I'm saying?
Sure, sure. It was that route.
Yeah. And it was the wrestling business. And if you couldn't take care of yourself in the ring, these old jammer guys like Asgard Moscow would beat you into oblivion. There's a match of me and Macho Man Randy Savage. They wanted him to win the match. And I didn't want to do it. But if you watch the match, you could tell that I didn't want to do it.
All right. Go ahead,
right,
sir.
It's on YouTube. Me and Macho Man Randy Savage. Another one with me and Paul Orndorff, and I didn't want to do it. Well, I let the people know I didn't want to do it.
Cool. I'm going to go back and watch those now on YouTube. Now,
yeah, because I'm not trying to blow my own horn, but I was so big and strong back in them days. There were very few wrestlers that could physically handle me in the ring.
I would agree 100%, sir. By the way,
I was real strong. I mean, I had a 650 bench, 800-pound squat. I could clean and jerk overhead 420 pounds. I used to do curls with 315. I used to curl the 80 and 90-pound dumbbells, you know, for curls. And sometimes I go up to 100-pound dumbbell for curls. And right now, today, you know, even though I'm in my 60s, I still can bench press over 400 pounds. I just did 425 yesterday on the bench.
It still looks like you're in pretty good shape, sir. 222-1280, star 1280. If you have a question for Tony Atlas right now, go ahead, Brian.
Tony, everyone here in the studio is big fans of Legends House and your appearance on that. And curious if you could tell us a little bit about that experience, getting all you guys together in the house for that short period of time.
You know, that was one of the, and you hear all the guys that say the same thing at the end of the day, that was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me in this business, because I never knew Hacksaw, I never knew Ronnie Piper, I never knew these guys. My mom had an old saying, you never know people until you live with them, because we all put on a certain act when we go out. You know, our wives know us, our parents know us, but you know, we never hang out our dirty laundry. We always try to give the best impression of ourselves as possible when we are in public. That's just human nature. But at Legend House, we couldn't hide who we were. And in the contract, Vince McMahon said anybody that don't be themselves, he was going to pull them from the show. So he wanted us to be the same way there, that we are not in the public eye. That was the most amazing thing about it. We got to know each other personally. That never happened before in pro wrestling, because we see each other at the arenas. And then once we leave the arenas, you know, every wrestler go to their hotel room or go back home. Or, you know, they go back they separate. We would see each other in a bar, you know, at the hotel bars and stuff like that. But the only time we really saw each other was at the arena. Unless you travel with a guy, then you know you're up and down the road with, but you didn't really live with the guy. We had to live with each other. It's like we live with our kids and live with our spouses. That was the most amazing thing about it. We never had to live together before. That was the first time it had ever been done.
And I mean, and so that was real. What we were getting is, I know they took a lot of footage, and but I mean, you know, and then you guys kind of formed a bond amongst you. Some of you, like Hacksaw Duggan, and Roddy Piper, and was there anything surprising? I mean, unfortunately, Piper has passed away since, so we really can't get a sequel to the show. But I mean, in general, was it a good experience for you?
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, you say, you know, I never judge a book by its cover. Well, I'm from the hills of Virginia. And I grew up with hillbillies and rednecks and country music. When the show first started, you know who was the last person that I would figure I would get into a dispute with?
Mean Gene Okerlund. I don't know.
Oh, no, Hacksaw.
Hacksaw.
I would have never in 1,000 years guessed that I was going to get get heat with a guy that's from Glen Falls, New York. Then he would be the last person I thought I would have a problem with, because he was a northerner.
Sure.
The person that I was worried about the most, believe it or not, of having a problem with, was Hillbilly Jim.
Definitely.
You know, we got this stigma. We got this certain stigma about people. So I'm thinking, he's from the hills of Kentucky. He's not going to like this black guy too much. You know, that's what I was thinking going into it. Come to find out, he was my best friend. You look all through the thing, me and him, Philip, we got so close. We still called each other every. I talked to him, Philip, about twice a week. I played twice a month.
That's awesome.
He became my very best friend. The guy that I thought was I was really, really close to, I found out I wasn't that close to. And the person I thought that I wasn't close to, like Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South, and you know, there's a couple of times you saw Jimmy Hart, you know, standing up for me against Hacksaw and Piper. He stood up for me against guys. You know, against Pat, he stood up for me. You see Jimmy doing that. And Jimmy came to me with one of the most saddest emotions that any person ever came to me. He came to me, he talked only to me about the death of his daughter.
Yeah, you're right. And that was very sad.
Jimmy Hart chose me to unload his feelings about how he felt about losing his daughter. And I would honor that moment with Jimmy Hart as long as I live. But that put us together. He's like a brother to me now.
That's cool. Now, did you have, before going to the house, did you have to go through your internal memory and try to figure out if you had heat with any of those guys before you got there?
Well, see, the wrestlers were a strange type of people. If you got heat with an old-timer, he won't tell you.
Okay.
You never know. He wait till he gets you in the ring and kick the crap out of you.
Gotcha. Old-school style.
That's how we used to do it in the old days, because the promoter taught us one thing. Save it for the ring.
It makes sense, you know? It puts a little...
Yeah, they used to have a thing they used to call grudge matches.
Oh, yeah.
If a promoter found out that two wrestlers don't like each other, you see, the object of wrestling in the olden days was making the people believe. Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to disbelieve something that is real. Like, if you notice when Ric Flair chops you, he do it for real.
Yeah.
When I used to work, the reason people remember my press slam more than anybody else press slam, you ask any wrestler to arrest me, the thing that used to make me mad if you try to help me do it.
I can understand that. Instead of like Sam...
I want the people to see me doing it. When I used to bench press 500 pounds, I used to get a local gym to bring the weights in from a local gym. I would let all the people there feel the weight, see the weight, make sure the weight is for real. And then I would do it. Because the object was making the people believe at all costs. The blood, there never been fake blood in wrestling. I don't know if people knew that or not. Never been no such thing as fake blood. Not in the olden days. Maybe, I don't know what they do now. I'm not that much involved with it.
Yeah.
But in my day, that was your blood.
That's right. Or your opponents, yeah.
All your opponent, that's right. You look at Carlos Colon and Abdullah the Butcher head and some of these old guys' head and Black Jack Mulligan and the late Dusty Rhodes. It looked like a cornfield.
It looked like a road map.
It looked like somebody took a cultivator and ran through their forehead. You know, these guys bled every night and did the late, great Bruce Jabroni, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Pretty soon, I guess I could announce this, pretty soon there's a document coming out on Vice TV out of Toronto, Canada. They've done a documentary on the Brody killing in Puerto Rico that should air. We just did a taping for it.
I didn't really want to touch on that subject, but you were a witness to this. So, I mean, obviously, you're a very important person involved in this TV show.
Yep, but what I learned about wrestling in this program was every man was for himself. Brody had one friend that day. Tony Atlas.
That's right. And
Nobody wanted to get involved. You see, the thing about wrestling in the olden days, a wrestler is kind of like one wrestler is Burger King, another wrestler is McDonald's, another wrestler is a Wendy's. We all sell the same product, and we all in for ourselves. There's only room for the wrestlers are what they call independent contractors. The only people that work for the WWE are office personnel. Every wrestler there is a small business. So Anthony White is who I am. Tony Atlas is my company.
Gotcha.
Tony Atlas is not a person. Tony Atlas is a company. That's why when you start in wrestling, they don't say welcome to wrestling. They say welcome to the business. And people always say, you guys are all friends. I had maybe three friends in my 40-some years as a wrestler. Tommy Wildfire Rich, Ernie Ladd, and S.D. Jones. That's it.
Oh, special delivery. Loved him, yeah.
That's it. Them the only people since I've been into the wrestling that I could call my friend, and I got to add another person to the list, Hillbilly Jim and Jimmy Hart. But wrestlers did not make friends. We were business associates.
And so, and that, because yeah.
Most dangerous, the most, you know what the safest part for a wrestler in the olden days, the safe place for a wrestler.
A safe?
The safe spot for a wrestler in the olden days. You know what that is?
I'm guessing probably the car as you're driving away. I don't know.
No, that's the most dangerous part.
Oh, the most dangerous part, okay.
Yeah, because you get a run in your mouth. You start trusting the guy you're riding with.
Ah.
You're giving him ammo to cut your throat later. The safest spot for a wrestler was in the ring. Because when you're in the ring, you're there to entertain the people and take, and make yourself look good. All the cutthroat, the most dangerous spot was the dressing room, and the number one spot was the car. So you're traveling up down the highway with this guy, so you started saying something. All of a sudden, I'm on the old time and said, Tony, never discuss the business in the car. Watch what you say in the car. I'll give you a quick story if we got time. Back in 1975, I was riding with a couple of what they call undercard wrestlers. Back in the old days, they had main eventers, they had semi-main eventers, and then they had what they call preliminary matches. Well, these guys was all in preliminary matches. I was tag teaming at the time with a guy called Wahoo McDaniel, which put me in a semi-main. I just started in the business. So they asked me, said, Tony, how much money you made this week? I told him I made about $1,500. You know, I was right at the beginning of my career. So they said, oh, Rufus R. Jones made $2,500. Wouldn't you like to make $2,500? I said, yeah, I'd like to make $2,500. So the next day, George Scott, who was my mentor and the guy that broke me into business, from also from Canada, he called me in the office and said, Tony, I hear you was complaining about how much money you made.
Oh, no.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see.
What I should have done, what I should have said, I didn't know that about how things work. What I should have said, no, I'm very happy with what I made. It's more than I made before. That's what I should have said. But being a young kid, don't know no better. I said, yeah, I would love to make $2,500.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can see it.
They use that as a weapon to go against. Another time I came back from Japan and was back during my old drug days and everything. So anyway, me and this girl, we're going to stop and get us a bag of weed and some wine, and we're going to, you know, get her a few more stuff that she likes to do.
Sure.
And then we're going to go to this hotel, and we're going to party all night long in Los Angeles, in Beverly Hills, California, at the Beverly Hills Crest. Well, I used to carry a wallet at that time. You know, if you see me or you see Hulk Hogan, all of us old guys, we all wear fanny packs now because we used to, them wallets used to always fall out of our pockets. We sure. didn't have the tight jeans, and we had to wear dress pants, so they always fall out of our pockets. So I dropped my wallet. I had about $200 in it. So I said, oh, shoot. I left my wallet. I went downstairs. They had a valet. My wallet was gone. The valet was gone.
So oh, no.
I knew he took it. The valet was gone, too, along with my wallet. So anyway, I go to the show that night. It was at the Olympia Stadium during that time. In L.A., the Olympia, whatever that building was. So anyway, I was telling the boys about it. The next morning, S.D. Jones picked me up at the airport in Newark, the next day now. And he said, hey, Tony, I hear you went to Japan and you lost $10,000. I mean, $2,000. It went from 200 to 2,000 overnight.
Oh, man.
I was with Abdullah the Butcher. About a couple of weeks ago, we were down here at the Legend of Wrestling, and he was telling the story. It's 20 now. 20 grand.
That's they gave a game called Telephone, where you tell a secret into one person's ear and it goes around the whole table, and by the time it comes back to you.
Kind of like Mad Dog Vachon to say, if a story is worth telling, it's worth it measuring.
Tony, you were fantastic, sir. I'm so psyched to see you come into town. I didn't even get a chance to ask you a whole slew of questions about your, but unfortunately we're running out of time. You have a biography that came out a couple of years ago, and you know, you got to do that thing with Abraham Washington and ECW, but sir,
Wait, write me back. That's all I got to do. While I'm still living.
That's right. Well, you can come back, but I got to tell folks that 1 week from today, you're going to be in Batavia at the Folletti Ice Arena, July 22nd for IWF Battle Bowl. Tony, thank you so much for the time, sir. I got to tell you, I'm a huge fan. I was a little kid when you gorilla slammed Hulk Hogan and MSG. I saw it on TV. Became an instant fan of yours, and been a fan.
Not only that, the Vice TV going to be there doing a little bit more service. So a lot of fans that come to the show will probably hit up on Vice Television.
All right, so you can get on TV too while you're there in Batavia. Very cool.
That's right. There'll be some TV taping going on while I'm there.
Well, sir, it's been an honor to have a WWE Hall of Famer on the show. Thank you so much. Best of luck.
Well, it was absolute honor that y'all remember us, guys, because there's a lot of great guys that I have met in this business. Some fantastic guys. You know, I'm lucky enough to sit here and say not only have met but teamed up and travel with the late, great Andre the Giant. I mean, he was a phenomenal individual to get to know. And so I hope they never forget Andre the Giant. Had a Hall of Gold.
Thank you, sir. We're gonna have to book you again for this more of these stories. But I appreciate the time so much, and we'll see you next weekend, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay. Y'all have a wonderful day.
You too, sir. All right. We got to go to break. We'll be right back on the flip side. You are listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
U.S. Championship Open Challenge. Now that's for like everybody else but me, right?
Oh no, that's you. Especially you.
He's the man that knows I got your number.
Hold up, you got his number?
All right, hold on, guys.
You showed the whole world that last night, right?
All right, that's enough. This is what we're gonna do.
Wait. Hey, you're real mouthy for a man who got beat down by Braun Strowman last night.
I'm Dave Barrett on the observation deck. As we get deeper into summer, you might need to get cooled off. And just the other day,
7-Eleven has a fantastic summer offer.
Yeah, across the country on July 11th, 7-Eleven, you could get a free small Slurpee. That chain is marking 90 years, and the Slurpee has been around for 51 of them. Originally, when a soda fountain broke down, containers of soda were put into a freezer and they got slushy. Then Ruth Taylor created the Icy name and logo. In 1965, 7-Eleven got a licensing deal and the Slurpee started being sold there.
You slurp, you be awesome, and probably get a brain freeze.
That's it. Brain freeze showdown.
Oh, don't drink it too fast.
You guys are idiots.
This is more than just a drink. There's been Slurpee lip balm and Slurpee gum. In 1970, this was released. Called Dance the Slurp. That might give you a brain freeze. I'm Dave Barrett, CBS News.
Rich Eisen, weekdays noon till 3 on Fox Sports 1280 Rochester.
We go.
We've been friends for years and years. You, me. The man that put me in the American scene, Rey Mysterio Jr., my great friend. We've seen it all. We've done it all. We went through everything together. Together. What was that bullcrap last week?
Hey, this is Sanjay Dutt, the original player from the Himalaya from TNA Wrestling, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with Double B, Brian Burke, DC, Dan Cole, Ron Falco, Jordan Falco, and you. And we got a couple calls, so we're going to go right to Jordan. Jordan, what's up, buddy?
What's going on?
How we doing? Morning, guys.
we got two Jordans. Hey. You got Jordan in the studio and Jordan on the phone. Jordan from Fairport. What's up, buddy?
I just want to talk about the Del Rio situation.
Okay, very quickly. We didn't really get too much of the news yet today, but Del Rio got busted last Sunday in an airport, domestic abuse charges, and after much evidence have gone by, it looked like he might have domestically abused Paige in public. He was intoxicated, and didn't say exactly what the domestic abuse was, but unfortunately, is that what you're talking about, or are you talking about him getting suspended by GFW right after that?
Domestic abuse.
Yeah, domestic abuse.
This man, I was furious. when I heard this stuff. This man is he's a poor excuse of a man. He's a drunk. And he pays you to get away from him. She really does.
She keeps coming back. And then, I mean, there was like, they had some lady who was recording what they were saying while they were running away from the security. And apparently he's saying, well, she's got all the cocaine in her purse or something like that. And it was like, that's just, it's a bad situation.
If she came back, if she just said, honestly, like the reason why, like, women go back to men that are abusers because they're scared of what actually could happen. Like, something crazy could happen. But if she said, you know what, screw you, I'm leaving, and she went back to WWE, she can be the biggest face. Think about it, though. She can get on the mic and be like, I was with a man that abused me, and now I'm back, now I'm clean or whatever. And then you can get likes of, like, Alexa or even a heel Sasha. You'd be like, I don't care that you were abused or whatever.
If you want to roll that into reality, if you want to roll that into reality, don't you think that her little tryst with the New Day,
make her a valet for the New Day?
Yeah, oh my God. Because that's actually been referenced before. They're trying not to reference things that happen with different companies.
Yeah, but the problem is too, you can't do this because she is defending him still.
I know, and that's why she's got to leave him. He's terrible for her.
I know, I agree. And I think that, you know, I mean, unfortunately, I see just terrible things coming down the line, you know, just because if there's, you know, chemical abuse involved in all this too, just bad things can happen. So I hope that, you know, maybe her family, because there's also, you know, the thing is they can't fire her right now because they're making that movie based on her family right now. And so she cannot be, she's kind of like untouchable almost, you know?
I got you. All right, guys, I gotta go. I just wanted to touch on that subject real quick.
Okay, Jordan, thanks for calling, man. 222-1280 Star Toys. Remember, we've got Rick from Rochester. What's up, Rick?
Hey, great interview. Very, very well-spoken gentleman he is.
I can imagine you could get together with him for like 3 or 4 hours. You would probably hear some of the things that, you know, would turn your hair white, you know.
And you would only have to ask one question.
Yeah, really. Yeah, but, you know, I loved him. I thought he was great, and I definitely would like to talk to him again. So
I need a nap after that interview.
So what's up, Rick?
A few things on my mind today. I didn't turn it on until you guys until about 10 after. I don't know if you mentioned, did you tease the Kurt Angle situation being addressed Monday?
Yeah, whatever the secret is, obviously has something to do with Stephanie McMahon coming back. That's all we know so far. But it's good, whatever, you know. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I hate stuff.
You don't think it could be Dixie?
Yeah, Who is Dixie?
I mean, it's another company. They won't mention their company's name. So does it matter? I mean, yes, there's a possibility it could be Dixie Carter because they put her on the commercial going into, you know, on USA. It's probably the most exposure she's ever had in the world of pro wrestling, being in a commercial for WWE product. But I don't know. I think it's Stephanie McMahon because she's coming back from, you know, this big tour she did where she got all these humanitarian awards and everything. Then you're going to find out that he had like an affair with her or something. Maybe they got like a, you know, a little hornswoggle on the side or something. You know, I don't know.
Well, why did they intertwine Corey Graves?
I have no idea why Corey Graves is the point man. I guess we'll find that out Monday.
Okay. I just found out some interesting news. I was, on the Google, and I didn't know Jerry Lynn is one of the producers for ROH.
Yep, Mr. JL, Jerry Lynn, used to wrestle as Mr. JL a long time ago in a mask, pink mask, loved it. He was a great wrestler. I love Jerry Lynn. He's a guy who, you know, he was past his prime when he started with TNA, and he made that X Division, him and AJ Styles, back in the very beginning. So it's like he always was very, you know, he was, you know, somebody, WWE always wanted him, but he was also injured a lot, so towards the end of his career. But, yeah, he's a great mind for wrestling.
Yeah, definitely. Just a couple other things on my mind today. What do you think of the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view? And how many was there a good buy rate? Even though a lot of people have the network.
Yeah, there's no buy rates anymore. I think they're embarrassed to show those numbers. Maybe a few bars in this world will show it, but I have no idea. I mean, they don't really sell pay-per-views anymore. They sell events, and that's what it is. And you know what? I don't think they care because some of the stuff they do on the events, like putting commercials 5 minutes into the pay-per-view, or I mean, if it was a pay-per-view, you know, I think that really detests me from you know, it's hard for me to get behind what they're doing. I wish it would go back to pay-per-views, to be honest with you.
Well, I think it was a great pay-per-view, don't you think, though?
It was okay.
It was an okay pay-per-view with some pretty good moments. I would highlight, honestly, the Iron Man tag team match.
Yeah, so that was fantastic.
As the highlight of that event.
Yeah. That was good. It should have been further down the card.
I'm not, who's to say, you know, I mean, they have to pace those things out. You know, I mean, Ron, as a promoter, you know that you can't put all the hot matches at the end of the show. You got to mix them up with ones that might slow down the pace a little bit to build it back up.
Yeah, there is a flow that you really should follow to a show. I mean, a lot of people don't realize it. They just, you know, they want it top heavy, bottom heavy, but there is peaks and valleys, like you were saying. So there are, you know, certain ways to put a card together.
Yeah.
Okay. And last thing, What do you think of the ROH? Is it ROH coming around here anytime soon, don't you think?
Yeah, we talked about that a little while ago. October 12th, it's going to be in Buffalo.
Oh, wow.
New Japan, ROH New Japan show.
Oh, sweet. Is that going to be any tapings or no?
I'm not sure.
I don't think so. This is part of their Global Wars tour. It's three stops they have coming up that are going to feature both talent from Ring of Honor and New Japan.
I think the Toronto one is probably going to be the taped one. I think they're up in Canada for a couple of those, I think so.
Oh, last thing, I love the Silas Jay Lethal feud going on in ROH.
Sure. Who doesn't?
Did you see the last week where he was in front of the across street from the hospital?
Talking about
Lethal, Silas was.
Yeah.
Dude, I love Silas. He reminds me of Bill Cowher with the and how he looked and stuff like that.
Coach. You got the coach there. I like it when he was trying to teach the boys to be a man. That was my favorite Silas moment in Ring of Honor in the last couple of years. So, dude, we got to run, bro. Thanks for calling.
All right, thanks. Yep, see you.
All right, 222-1280, star 1280. And we got to go to break right now. We've been talking about this show the whole show. Why don't we give some tickets away? Callers 12 and 13, if you want to go to this show in Batavia, in fact, I even have the address here. It's 22 Evans Street, Batavia, Genesee County, New York. The show is called IWF Battle Bowl. Mr. USA Tony Atlas, who our guest earlier in the show, is going to be there, as well as you're going to see Paul London, Cody Deaner. We have women's matches. We got a Fatal 4-Way we're going to have with Jordan. And maybe even you might get Ron Falco into the ring. Who knows? If you call him out in the ring, it may happen. So give us a call, 12. Callers.
No,
12.
No, we're going to see Ron take on Johnny Kayfabe.
Oh, Johnny Kayfabe? Well, it's on text, I think that's happening, you know. But we got to go to break. So give us a call right now, caller 12 and 13. I'll mail these out to you this week. So 222-1280, star 20. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Hurt in a car? Call William Attar. Our focus puts us at the cutting edge of motor vehicle claims. We have years of experience collecting black box data from accidents because we know this critical evidence can help win a case. At William Attar, our focus allows us to be ahead of the curve. The firm with the focus, the firm with the fours. Hurt in a car? Call William Attar. 444-4444. Main Street, Williamsville, West Main Street, Rochester.
Welcome to Wells Fargo.
So we love those home improvement shows.
They'll do these great renovations,
but never talk about how to finance them.
Mm-hmm. Well, our My Credit Options Guide tool can help. It gives you a customized comparison based on the information you provide to help you discover which credit options might be right for you.
At last.
A better kitchen.
Wells Fargo is building better every day with a new way to compare credit options. My Credit Options Guide is not a credit application or meant to be a denial or approval of credit. Regardless of the results of the assessment, you may still apply for any of our credit products. Wells Fargo Bank N.A., member FDIC.
20 years ago, Gregor lent some CDs to a techno musician friend who sampled them on his album. The album went platinum, but the CDs were never returned. And that musician who borrowed them was Moby. Gregor doesn't want credit or riches. He just wants his CDs back.
Say I'm Moby, like how would you ask?
Hey Moby, can I have back those CDs?
Click here to listen to the Heavyweight Podcast for this and other stories of regret and second chances.
Fox Sports 1280.
Hi, this is Shane McMahon, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Fan Click. I want to congratulate our two winners, Rob and Mike, and I'll get your information in just a second. Thank you so much. Hey, Ron and Jordan Felco join us in the studio. Thank you guys for coming up, man. I appreciate it, man. We got to hit this big heavily one more time. But, Danny, you got something to say.
Oh, no, I just wanted to say, you know, we have the guys up here from IWF. Obviously, Battle Bowl coming up next week. But IWF doing something great now, too. They got a show.
They do.
On TV. Fired up.
It is. I'm taping it tonight. It's on my DVR. You can actually find it on the guide, and you can set it to record if you're not up at that time. How's that show going, by the way?
It's actually going really good. You know, like Dan and I were talking about in commercial, we're working the bugs out. You know, we'll have better production value down the road. And starting after the fifth week, we're actually going to implement on each show flashback matches from when I ran IWF in Buffalo and in Portageville.
Very cool. If you ever need some voiceover talent, I know a certain guy who might be able to help you.
Sounds good.
Cash, it's very nice of you to throw me out there. I appreciate that.
That would be pretty funny, actually. I wear a tie and a suit. No, maybe, if you need it. No, whatever. I'm desperate. No, I'm kidding.
Please hire me.
No, I'm kidding. Well, but that's really cool. I'm going to check that out tonight. I noticed it was been on the list. I got to say that I participate in a roller derby show that's on, I think, right before that.
Right before on CW.
So you can catch the roller derby show, and then you can catch the wrestling show. But, man, we cannot wait 1 week from today in Batavia, man. Thank you so much for the time. Thank you for setting up Tony Atlas. Thank you for bringing all these great names to Batavia. And thank you for giving us some tickets to give away to the fans this week.
Oh, thanks for always supporting IWF. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Not a problem at all. Thank you. Thanks for coming. Well, I'll get those names for you in just a second. Guys, hey, it's been another week. I don't know if we missed any of the big news. I can't think of anything too insane that we missed.
Roman Reigns still hasn't been charged for attempted vehicular manslaughter, by the way.
No, he's not. Talking Smack got canceled this past week. Not a big deal. Shelton Benjamin should be back. Kyle O'Reilly debuted on Ring of Honor this past week. Now we've got both Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish. So Bobby Fish will be back in town in a few weeks, too, to defend his title here. We got to get out of here. Thanks so much for listening. IWF next week, Battle Bowl Batavia. We'll see you there.